Paul Ramel here for Q92 Radio. Of course, March is Egg Month, and we've been interviewing some egg producers and anything related with egg here on Q92. And right now we're going to visit with the president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, Tim Weibel. Tim's from Cortland, Minnesota, just outside of New Ulm there. And how's things going, Tim?
Things are going well down here. You know, we had that cold snap, but other than that, it was a pretty nice winter. Not a lot of snowfall down in our part of the country, but, you know, we had that about a foot here, about a week ago. And, you know, when you get it on top of thawed ground, it's certainly always creates a mess. But, you know, this last weekend with the strong winds and with the warm temperatures, I don't see any bit of snow anywhere this morning.
That's right. Same here in Madison. The wind took care of that, I think, a couple days ago. So, hey, before we begin talking about farming and egg stuff, I want to let our listeners know I'm enjoying this interview here because Tim and I are friends from way back, childhood friends, actually. I grew up in New Ulm my first 13 years, and Tim is still there with his family and his brothers, and we have some good childhood memories, don't we, Tim?
Oh, we certainly do. You know, we spent a lot of time with the Ramel family, so Paul would have been in, you would have been in my brother's class.
Randy, yep.
And your brother Greg was in my class, but you had a good friendship with my brother, and I had a good friendship with your brother Greg, and certainly spent a ton of time at your place, and I know you guys spent some time out at our place too, out on the farm and stuff like that. And
a lot
of great memories. You know, it was just a good time of the life, and you know, back then things were a lot simpler than they were now. I can remember going down to your dad's foundry on Front Street when we'd spend time at your place, and then when you guys came out to our place, I know my parents never cut nobody no slack if you were there. You helped with chores, and chores was something we milked cows and had pigs and your typical farm of, 50 years ago, and certainly everybody that showed up always had a help in some way or the other, you know?
Yep. Yeah, it was really my first experience on a farm, and it was really a great experience. A lot of fun memories there. I know your mom made the best meals for us when we had sleepovers there, Tim. So she was it was a great time.
Yep. You know, and it was always, those memories are so good, you know, because years ago, that's what, when you grew up in small town America and rural America, you know, in the evenings for entertainments, you'd get done with chores and put on some clean clothes, never took a shower, you just put on clean clothes and you jumped in the car and went over to a neighbor or a relative and got to spend some time outside and always had a big lunch before you had to come home, you know. It was just those are great memories and something that, you know, we don't do so much as a society anymore, that type of visiting with your neighbors going to see relatives just on the spur of the moment. You know, you never knew when somebody was going to stop in.
That's right. Well, we're talking, the late 60s? That's the time frame we're talking here, so.
Yep.
Long time ago.
Yep. It is. But, right. I certainly enjoyed the times. You know, we, as a kid growing up, we had a go-kart. God, we spent a lot of time when you guys would come over on that thing too. Had a tremendous amount of fun, and if somebody got hurt or something happened, by God, the last thing we were going to do was run to mom and dad, because then we'd be cut off from the from that type of activity for quite some time. But yeah, a lot of fond memories of those types of things.
All right, well, let's fast forward to 2021 then, Tim. Tell us a little bit. You're the president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. Tell us maybe a little bit about your farming operation that you have there outside of New Ulm.
Sure. So, anyway, I'm married to my wife, Mary, and she had two sons. Their dad passed away with cancer when they were at a real young age, 4 and 5 years old. And me and Mary got married, and we've had three daughters as well. And the two boys farm full-time with us. So Mary's outside all the time, doing chores too. We raise quite a few pigs here at home, about 24,000 a year, and that's where we need the work And then we have our crop acres on that as well. And, you know, we raise corn and soybeans. And, you know, I'm getting at an age, 62 years old. We're looking towards the exit plan here. And I'm not saying I want to retire now. And I know my wife continually says that. She says, I'm by far not ready to retire. But, you know, you got to be prepared if something happens when you get to the ages that we are, and that things are in place that the next generation can take over the farm and continue it on, and hopefully for many, many years to come.
Right. Now, you're on your brother lives on the family farm where I'm familiar with, right?
Yes,
ready?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, so me and my brother owns the building site there yet, and me and my wife own the cropland around it. And,
okay.
You know, my brother started farming in a very tough time. You know, interest rates are extremely high, commodity prices were low, inflation was high, and he just decided to exit farming, and we ended up buying the farmland from my dad at that point, and mm-hmm. so we've just been farming that for probably close to 20 years now ourselves already, so
okay.
Time flies.
All right, so let's talk about the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, Tim. How long have you been president?
So I started my presidency in October, and so we run one-year terms as president.
Oh, okay.
It's just a one-year term. You know, and a couple of the corn grower board members had asked me, you know, if I wanted to stay on and run another year because of the COVID. You know, we there's a lot of activities we always had done, and being president gave you a lot of special big ends with a lot of high-powered politicians and offices in general. But, you know, when I look at our corn grower board, we've got a great board. And for me to take that, since we're only can be on the corn grower board for 9 years, I would be denying another fellow board member that opportunity to be president. And that's certainly something that I don't want to do. We've got, like I said, we've got great people behind me, and I'm always impressed. We bring people from so many different facets on the corn growers board with their knowledge, as far as, you know, somebody can be extremely good with with soils, and somebody can be very good with the livestock industry and understanding seed and so on and so forth. So we've got a wide variety of people on this on our board, and it's a fun group to be with, and it's a fun group to work with.
How many members do you have, Tim, in the Minnesota Corn Growers Association?
So on the association part, so we're the side that can actually go and lobby and do those types of things. So we're funded solely by people's money. It's not part of the checkoff system. The checkoff system is separately. The checkoff system, basically, most of that goes for education and research, whereas we can do the types of lobbying and so on and so forth. So that's a really enjoyable thing. On the other board, two very qualified individuals working with that. You know, up your way, I can think of like Chad Willis from Wilmer. He's on there. Mickey Peterson from Granite Falls. He's on that side. So, and you know, Mickey's going to be retiring. Mickey's been on there since I've known him as well, and great person, very well versed in the ethanol industry, and Chad as well. And Chad Willis from Wilmer also serves on the U.S. Grain Council as vice chair.
Mm.
So Chad's got a big position there with U.S. Grains. And U.S. Grains is basically, it's a joint venture, you could call it, from... So U.S. Grains will represent like a lot of allied industries that we work with, as far as our soybean and so on and so forth as well. And they'll go into these foreign countries and they'll get us into selling grains. We have offices throughout the world through that agency, and the government also puts some money into it. So it's closely watched, but they do tremendous work for us throughout the world.
Okay. You know, when I drive around in the summertime and I see all the corn in the fields and stuff, I always ask myself, Tim, I wonder how many corn farmers there are in Minnesota. Can you tell us that?
There's about 27,000 corn farmers that raise 100 acres or more.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, and certainly you know as well as I do that there's corn farmers that are smaller and there's corn farmers that are quite large. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's 27,000. So it's a fairly substantial number that raise corn. And, you know, we've seen these numbers, excuse me, with, you know, we're raising corn way up to the Canadian border now. And that's something that, you know, when I was younger, they raised a lot of wheat, small grains up in that part of the world. And certainly we know that our climate is changing some, and it's given them an opportunity to raise these types of crops way up north, and they're having very good success in doing it.
Okay. You mentioned lobbying. The Corn Growers Association does some lobbying. So tell us a little some of the top priorities concerning any legislative issues happening in St. Paul or Washington, Tim.
Well, the biggest one this year in the state here is currently we use a E10 blend in the state of Minnesota, and there are exemptions from that E10. Collector cars, small motors, small engines like on lawnmowers and so on and so forth. But other than that, we're at a 10% blend, and we're trying to get it moved up to a 15% blend. There are some stations that offer that 15% blend, and that'd be the 88 octane is what they call it. And you'll see that pretty much always priced significantly lower than the regular E10 because of the fact that ethanol is cheaper than the gasoline part,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so that's why we're trying to get that move forward onto this in the state here. And, you know, and ethanol, we know that's one thing that we've cleaned up the environment, and you being a little bit older, such as I, you know, we can remember them days of having to get your cars inspected for emissions, mm-hmm. especially up in the metro. And, you know, once ethanol came into place, those emissions testings, that disappeared, and that is ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
That's what did it. And, you know, so it's an important part of what we did to clean up the environment by farmers raising corn and converting it into this ethanol.
Yeah. Where does most of the corn end up? Does it end up with ethanol plants or?
Typically about, now this is speaking for the U.S., but about 39% goes into livestock feed. You know, the chicken industry and hogs and the cattle industry, for the most part, turkeys. And then 26.6% would go into the ethanol plants, and then 17.5% goes to exports. And, you know, like now our big exports right now, what's driving everything is, and I think up in your part of the country too, these facilities that have the ability to load these 110 shuttle trains. So basically that's one destination. They're picking up the grain from one source in our area, and they're delivering it to one source. And it can be a wide variety of things. You know, there's farms that actually are big enough where they take these shuttle trains units of corn and mm-hmm. can use that 440,000 bushels of corn on their farm for
okay.
feeding their livestock. And a lot of it, you know, more towards our area, it goes down the river in barges, and
mm-hmm.
I did see that the first barge made its way up through Lake Pepin on Saturday. So
mm-hmm.
the season is starting up here,
yep.
getting the barges going, and then we get out towards your part of the country, and I know the Pacific Northwest takes a lot of the shuttle loaders of corn, and that corn would pretty much be targeted for the Asian market, so your Japan's, Korea.
Right.
China, those types of countries. And, you know, Mexico is another big importer of our corn, too. I know where I live down here, one of the elevators, that is their primary market when it comes to shuttle loaders is Mexico. You know, they have the same customers down there, and they take, you know, so and so much corn. And it's been impressive this year. You know, I've been farming for a number of years, and I've never seen this type of activity of corn getting put on trains down here.
Right.
It's amazing. I know I just read a newsletter from one of our local co-ops here that they figure by April 1st they're going to ship out 60 shuttle loader trains of corn this year alone already.
Wow, good.
And, you know, yeah, it it's amazing the amount of corn, and hopefully we don't run out, because you know the livestock industry, they're mm-hmm. a good supporter of corn usage in our country and are in our state here as well, and hopefully we have enough at the end of the summer to get everybody through, but I'm sure we will. We always do.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we're visiting with Tim Weibel. Tim is the president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. And as we wrap up here, Tim, have the corn growers been affected by the COVID pandemic, or how have they been affected by the COVID pandemic this year?
Well, you know, we have, and we're not immune to, we're like every other industry. You know, when COVID came, I could share it with this story with you. So we were actually out in Washington, D.C. for the corn growers when COVID actually hit. And we flew out on a Sunday night. Everything was normal. Monday, there was a lot of talk of COVID. And by Thursday night, by the time we flew home, it was amazing how I thought the world changed in them few days. You know, it was just incredible. No handshaking, no nothing at the offices. And when you're used to going up to your representative or your senator and shaking their hand, that's the first thing you do is reach out to somebody and shake their hand. And it certainly was something. But yeah, so that part, you know, where we were at when it initially struck, and you know, being involved in the livestock industry too, we were fortunate. We were able to get all of our market hogs down to get harvested, but you know, we really had to slow them down. So what I mean by slow them down is we kept the vitamins in the feed, and we fed them pretty much a straight corn ration. We didn't put protein in, because protein would make them gain a lot of weight. So we really had to slow everything down, but you know, it worked through. And I got to say, I've got my first shot of COVID. Next week, me and my wife go back in for our second one, and I'm looking forward to some normalcy. You know, we've been pretty lucky. We've got three of our, one of my daughter-in-laws and two of my daughters are RNs, so they've got their shots quite some time ago because of their employment and stuff like that. And we certainly weren't immune to COVID in our family, because four of our family members did come down with COVID.
Right.
And, you know, it's something that I think there's not a family that could not say that they have not been affected by COVID, but hopefully we can get through this. Everybody gets vaccinated, and we can get some normalcy back here coming up shortly.
All right, real good, Tim. Well, thanks for the chat today. I appreciate that. Just want to encourage everyone. The website is mncorn.org, and I was on that the other day. It's a pretty nice website for all the information you need for the Minnesota corn growers there, right?
Yes, it is. They've done it really well. They put a lot of work into it the last few years, and like you said, there's a lot of fun facts on there, and so on and so forth. So take some time and take a peek at it when you got some time, either on a weeknight or a weekend.
Okay. Well, Tim, since we were childhood friends, we really haven't seen each other for 40, 50-some years, have we?
No, we haven't, but, you know, I am going to make a point, you know, the older you get, the more you realize that you got to take that time and do certain things. You know, you get so wrapped up in so darn much stuff, and it's just like it's tough to, you know, it's easier to make up an excuse not to do something than it is just go and do it.
Right.
And now it's at a point where you just got to do it and never see do it. But so.
Yep. Well, we'll get together sometime. You say hi to your brother Randy for me too. So
I'll do that. All right. Take care. Nice talking to you.
Yep. Tim Weibel, president of the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, during Egg Month here in March.